Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. This is Anne. I have a member of our community who is on today's episode. She's going to share her story. Before we get to that, I want to thank all of you who have bought a copy of my book, Trauma, Mama, Husband, Drama. It's available through Amazon. I also want to thank you for your patience. When we launched the book, we had such high hopes that we were going to do it a certain way and pre-sell it and all this stuff. And I didn't know what I was doing, and we kind of botched the launch. The idea was to get a lot of reviews all at once so that it would work to our benefit with the Amazon algorithm. And it kind of did. I appreciate all of you who purchased the book and pre-purchased it. That was awesome. Thank you. It just didn't work exactly as we had hoped, because the more reviews you have on Amazon, the easier it is for people to find us. When it comes to women finding us online, they find us through iTunes, through the Apple Podcast app. I super appreciate all of you doing reviews there. That makes a huge difference for women being able to find us. Think about when you were searching for things on Amazon, when you were searching for books. If they find Trauma, Mama, Husband, Drama on Amazon, they also find this podcast. They can get the correct information from the podcast rather than going to, you know, all the therapists that you guys have been to who didn't understand this type of abuse. So will you please, if you have purchased the book and you haven't yet, go to Amazon and review it. The more reviews that we can get on Amazon, the more it will enable women to find us. I would love it if when they're searching for, let's say, why does he do that on Amazon, that Trauma Mama comes up as a suggestion in relation to that. Or if they're looking for the verbally abusive relationship, for example, Trauma Mama comes up. We have had some amazing reviews come back, and I'm going to read one to you. This is a verified purchase from Amazon. Where was this book 30 years ago? Trauma Mama is a short, poignant book highlighting the trauma many women endure their entire life because they do not realize all the craziness is not their fault. It is written in simplistic, poetic cartoon form for the busy, hardworking wife who has no time to sit and study while she tries to be Supermom and Wonder Woman without missing a beat. It is the perfect non-intimidating book that can open one's eyes to subversive behaviors destroying one's marriage and family. To make it even better, there is a resource section at the end of the book to help one understand the destruction, learn to set boundaries, and realize they are not alone. 10 stars. I think that it will help give you validation in the form of emotions, because it's a picture book. There's so much emotion packed in the amazing illustrations, but it's also an amazing book to give to clergy or therapists or friends or people who don't understand it, because it is so simple and the infographics at the back are really, really useful. So thank you so much again for those of you who have purchased it already. If you haven't, you can go to our books page, btr.org/books. Click on that link that will take you directly to the Amazon page, or you can simply search for it on Amazon. We also super appreciate you posting about this book on social media, tagging it, helping us get the word out so more women can understand this type of abuse and they don't have to go through all the pain and chaos. Hopefully we can help educate the world about this issue. We have made some awesome website updates, which have been a long time coming. So if you're not familiar with our website, btr.org, I invite you to go there. You can see our daily support group schedule. We have multiple sessions a day in every single time zone. And when you join, you get unlimited live support. Of course, it's on the computer, through Zoom, everything is today. We built this long before coronavirus, and we built it for you specifically, so you don't have to worry about childcare. You can attend a session in your closet, in your garage, in your car. You don't have to go anywhere, and you don't have to set an appointment. Obviously, when an abuse episode happens, or when a disclosure happens, or when you find out something, you need to talk to someone who understands it immediately. When I say someone who understands it immediately, I don't mean that you could talk to them immediately, because it might be a couple hours till the next session. But what I mean is, they understand it immediately. You don't have to get an appointment with a therapist who you have to explain the situation to. Our coaches can actually help you right off the bat. You don't have to explain to them. You don't have to justify yourself. They are there to help you, not you trying to train them on what abuse is, which is the vast majority of what women experience when they try to find a therapist. they get, you know, well, let's improve your communication, or what are you doing, or what is your part, or whatever. And that only further traumatizes an abuse victim. Because we use the abuse model here at Betrayal Trauma Recovery, you can get help right away. We'd love to see you in a session today. So go to btr.org and join our support group. All right, now for today's guest. I have a member of our community on today's episode. We're going to call her Connie. She is a survivor and a thriver after 11 years of marital rape and abuse. She has 5 children and she loves yoga and the ocean. So welcome, Connie.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's start with a brief history of your marriage.
Well, I got married when I was 19. I was young. It was a pretty typical cluster B type relationship.
You say cluster B. Can you define that for our listeners?
Yeah. Well, as far as I understand it, those are the types of personality disorders. And whether or not your partner is diagnosed with it, you can see that if they have those traits, you can kind of assume that you are fall within that range of that kind of abuse. So like narcissistic abuse or borderline personality disorder abuse. So any of those kinds of personality disorders are considered cluster B. And so they all kind of follow the same pattern where there's idealization. So love bombing, like the constant communication where they're texting you day and night, I love you. And one of those things too that I noticed, so Jackson McKenzie, he wrote this amazing book. It's called Whole Again. It's so good. I highly recommend it. But he talks a lot about coming out of a cluster B relationship and how to thrive after that. He talks about the constant communication and the putting down of all of their previous relationships. So saying like how disgusting their previous spouse or their previous boyfriend or girlfriend was. And somehow that elevates you for a while, but we're all pretty smart. And so after a while, you're like, wait a minute. If your previous spouse or your previous girlfriend was so nasty, then why did you date them? You know? So anyway, just kind of an interesting thing. There was that love bombing constantly, and then the devaluing and the discarding. And that sort of when we were dating.
And was this in a cycle? It would be sort of this grooming phase and then a devaluing and discarding and then another grooming phase. Was it sort of in a cycle?
Yeah, totally a cycle. And like the love bombing would be super intense. And then as soon as I started to kind of become comfortable with it and be really happy, that's when the devaluing would begin. That's when he would start to pull away. And I would feel like all of a sudden I was kind of trying to convince him to stay. And then the discarding would happen where he would just kind of go offline, like stop talking to me. Or he actually broke up with me when we were dating. I mean, that was complete spiritual abuse when he said, God told me that we're not supposed to be together. I just remember my roommates when he broke up with me saying something is really wrong with this relationship. Up until yesterday, he was at our apartment constantly. He was walking you to every class, waiting outside for you between your classes, calling you constantly. And then today he says, God said you're not supposed to be together. And of course, I mean, I was an emotional mess. No one, no matter how mentally healthy they are, can handle the discard phase in a cluster B relationship, and any kind of toxic relationship, whether or not you feel like you're in a cluster B relationship, any toxic relationship, that discard is going to mess you up. And so then I would be discarded in this horrible way. And I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to get healthy. I'm going to move on. And then he would come back, and he would come back healthier and more loving and more gentle and more like, Connie, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to be the man that I know you deserve. I love you so much. You're so incredible. And the love bombing would be so intense and so sincere and so just like euphoric. I hope that other women can hear this, because I don't ever want anyone to doubt their intuition, but there is a chemical reaction that happens. I've heard it said that emotional abuse is the most torturous kind of pain that there is. Torture is human suffering at its worst. And there is no relief more powerful than the relief from torture. And so when someone stops emotionally abusing you, the relief you feel is literally the most powerful thing a human being can experience. And so for another person to suddenly stop emotionally abusing you and to suddenly love bomb you is the most powerful bond that can form, more powerful than a mother-child bond, more powerful than a daddy-daughter bond. It is the most powerful chemical bond that can form, also the most toxic. And so I hope women don't berate themselves for this trauma bond that forms. It's so powerful.
And it's also so hard to see when you feel like the situation is that you have a really good guy who loses it sometimes. That's a different perspective than realizing their baseline is lying and manipulation, harm and abuse, and then the mask falls off. They put this pretty mask on top of all of this abuse, and then what you see is just the mask falling off every once in a while. It changes your perspective to realize that the baseline isn't a good guy that loses it, but the baseline is an abuser who can put on this act, and then that mask falls off. And I think being able to differentiate the two of those things is really, really helpful for victims. I'm going to take a little break here to encourage you to go to our website, find this episode, and comment on it. We love your comments. We want to hear your questions and comments. We want to hear your experience. You can always share anonymously there. That helps women who find that podcast episode feel validated when they see other women's experiences. So I want to take a break right now to let you know that all of the episodes are transcribed. They're available on our website. So please go find them, comment. I also want to take a brief moment to thank those of you who have rated this podcast on your podcasting apps, especially Apple Podcasts. Every single one of your ratings helps isolated women find us, and it makes a huge difference. I love listening to the reviews. So while we take this break, I'm going to read a review to you from our podcast. This review from a podcast listener is actually from an abusive man. He says, amazing resource for both partners. This podcast has been one of the best things for my wife on this journey, by far the best resource out there, and is only getting better. Not only has it been beneficial for my wife, but it has been beneficial for me. It has given me great insight into what my wife is experiencing and how my actions and abuse affect her. For anyone looking to learn more about sex and porn addiction, how it affects the family, the spouse, and the addict, this podcast is for you. I read those and I so appreciate it. So if you haven't already and you're so inclined, go give it a rating today on Apple Podcasts or your other podcasting apps. Okay, now back to our interview.
I remember one of your podcasts where I can't remember who it was. She was so incredible though. And she said, does he have an evil twin or is he the evil twin? And I wrote that down in my journal and I pondered it and I thought, what that means for me is, does he keep promising he's going to change, or is he a changed person who doesn't need to keep promising he's going to change? Because from the time we were dating, it was, I'm going to change, I'm going to change. And just those words, I'm going to change, that's a gaslight right there, because that makes me feel like I am telling him, you need to change. I never told him that. I never said that. He would put those words in my mouth, like I was saying, you're bad, you're evil, you need to change. I never even said that. I took him as he was, knowing we were two imperfect people. I mean, that alone puts him in like this victim state.
I'm broken. I need help to change. I'm working through these issues that I've had, not as a broken person, although clearly, but as a manipulation tactic in that sense.
Exactly. Yeah. I need you because you bring out the best in me. You are the light. I've never done so well in school. I stopped looking at porn when I was with you. You helped me be closer to my family. You've helped me have all these better habits. I mean, when you start hearing those words and phrases, run, just run. It's so unhealthy.
It's a subtle threat.
Totally. It's emotional blackmail.
Let's talk about covert physical abuse for a bit. This is something that you experienced. Can you talk about what covert physical abuse is?
Yeah, so Coach Joy really helped me with this. It started when we were dating, and I remember my older brother came and spoke to me about this because I showed up at his apartment and I had this rug burn across my face. And my brother was like, did he do that to you? Referencing my husband, who was then my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, no, it's nothing like that. We were just playing. We were just having fun. And he was angry. My brother was really angry. And he was like, leave him, get away from him. He's crazy. And I was like, why would you say that? He's just really fun. And he was like, how did he do that to you? And I was like, he didn't do it to me. We were just playing. And what had happened is that we'd been laughing, we'd been having fun, and he'd picked me up and he'd like thrown me across the floor wrestling. And I'd fallen across the floor and my face had gone across the carpet and I'd gotten this carpet burn on my face. And that wasn't the first time that something like that had happened, where I'd gotten just some kind of scrape or bump, or I'd been walking through the door and he'd closed the door on me without realizing that I was standing in the doorway.
Quote unquote, without realizing it.
Right. Or opening the car door when I'm standing right there and smacking me in the head with it. Or grabbing me when I'm not aware and swinging me backwards and kissing me and throwing my back out. Just these really rough gestures that are just, I don't want to say violent. It's hard to find the words. Not like maliciously trying to terrorize me, but the lack of intention to treat another human being with the respect that another human body deserves, that lack of intention in itself is abusive. And it took me a very long time to come to terms with that. It took a lot of coaching. It took a lot of work to be able to get past the shame. That's where I was. I was like, I allowed myself to be one of those like pathetic domestic abuse victims. But Coach Joy really helped me to understand I never asked for that. And it was so covert. I had said so many times to myself, stop punching the wall, just punch me. Because my husband would punch walls all the time. When he was angry, he would punch a wall. And I read in this book, it's called Real Rape, Real Pain. And I highly recommend it, that when a man punches a wall or punches a washing machine or kicks a fence, what that is, it's his way of saying, this could be you. And the fear that that instills in a woman is this way of saying, I need to respect him more, because the next time, if I don't act perfectly, that's going to be me. I'm that washing machine. And he's being kind by not punching me right now. And so the blackmail that was constantly in our relationship added this element of terror, because I have 5 children. And so constantly shielding them from seeing him damage property was also physical abuse. And that was difficult to take in too, that when men and women, but I am yet to see a woman who does this, punch objects in their own home, that is also considered physical abuse, covert physical abuse.
Yes. And it's a physical threat. I mean, it's both of those things. I experienced that as well. I would always say, I don't think he would hurt me, but that threat of like, I am violent. And the interesting thing is they don't choose to break things that they care about. So if they had a beloved something and they're going to punch something, they're always going to punch the thing they don't care about. Also, the hole in the wall or the broken door or the broken whatever, it stands as a sort of threat as it sits there. Because it's like, see what I did to this? I could do this to anything. You are not safe in your own home.
Right. And it's interesting, like Lundy Bancroft talks about how they stopped. At a certain point, they stopped. You know, he didn't break the whole wall down. It wasn't rage that caused him to punch that wall. It was a calculated decision. Because if it really was rage, because he used to say, I just lost control. And it's like, you know, if you lost control, why didn't you kill me? Why didn't you punch me? You decided to punch that wall because you were sending a message. And that's what I'm not okay with, is men trying to send this message of, I'm angry, so I have to punch something. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, that, and if they say, I lost it, if that's their excuse, then that's also a threat, because when I lose it, I could do anything, right? Because if they're saying it wasn't a choice and they have no control over it, I mean, they do, but if that is their contention, if they're saying that, then who knows what could happen? And you're terrified all the time.
Right. And so you're walking on eggshells, which in and of itself is a terrible way to live. They're finding proof that that gives us autoimmune diseases. It's giving us migraines. It's giving us constant neuropathy. You read the book In Sickness and in Health, and you learn that walking on eggshells is killing people. That in and of itself is so abusive. I remember right after we got married, we were driving to my husband's house in California for Thanksgiving. And as we were driving there, he He said, when we get there, I want you to have sex with me in my parents' hot tub. And I don't remember what I said, but I just remember thinking, please let him forget. Please let him forget this. And so we got there. It was nighttime. I don't know where his family was. They might have been sleeping or they might have been out of the house. But he said, okay, it's time. Let's go to the hot tub. And I said, no. I stood my ground and I said, no. And so he punched the wall that divided between the kitchen and the living room, and this chunk of drywall flew off. And the next day, his dad saw it and was super mad at him because they were trying to move across the country and they wanted to sell the house. And I remember another toxic relationship kind of trick that they have up their sleeve is to say, I'm the black sheep of my family. My family doesn't love me. I've always been the one who's least loved by my parents. And so that had been kind of like, my siblings don't love me. I feel so alone with my family. And so when his dad had approached us and said, you know, what happened to the wall? You know, we're trying to sell this house in California. It was 2008 when we got married. You know, the market had crashed. They were stressed out. I said, it's my fault. I made him really mad. And that's why he punched the wall. And his dad said, okay, well, I don't want to get involved, but just make sure you fix it. And I can remember I was making a Velveeta cheese appetizer for Thanksgiving as I was watching my husband plaster up this wall. And I remember thinking to myself, this is weird. There's something weird about this right now. And then I forgot about it. And it's taken me 11 years to realize, what the heck? Why didn't this family say, whoa, he punched a wall? You know, like, that's insanity.
That's not normal. It's not like I made him mad and he punched a wall. It should be like, what?
Yeah, totally, totally. Especially now, because I asked for a separation in September. Once I found BTR, got rid of the CSAT that was, you know, slowly killing me.
And the CSAT is a sexual addiction therapist, right?
Yep, yep. And finally got through the fog and set my boundaries, figured out that I'm going to survive my life, got the separation that I needed immediately, literally within days. His family turned on me. I reached out to them for help. And one of the things I've learned is don't reach out to his people for help. But I always kind of thought they would have my back. And right away, it was that I'm crazy, that I have borderline personality disorder.
That you're trying to ruin your family? Did they say that?
Yeah, that I'm doing the devil's work because I'm trying to ruin his family, because he actually is on his own journey right now. And part of his journey is that he has stopped speaking to people that enable his abusive behavior. So he stopped speaking to his own family. And so they say that I am ruining his family because he is not speaking to them.
Right. Or he's finally setting boundaries or something. And then they're like, you're poisoning him against us.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, okay, really? You watched, you knew this. Like, I know that his dad knows. They sent me a message. They were like, we know he has a temper, but you married him. You knew about it. I'm like, okay. And block. I'm like, we're done.
Their contention was, since you consented to the abuse, it's fine. Apparently. You're like, and I quote unquote consented to marry him, but I did not consent to abuse.
Exactly. Without understanding the full story, without understanding the truth, it's really interesting. When I would reach out for help, which I did to my church leaders, to my own family, and actually to his family, to his dad, I reached out for help. Back when it was just about pornography addiction, I reached out to his dad. People said that I just needed to be a better wife. I mean, all the stuff that you've all heard, be a better wife, have more sex, be more patient, use I statements, all that stuff. Read about the Four Horsemen or whatever that stupid book says, you know.
Mm-hmm. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And then try to avoid it like crazy. So you try not to stonewall. You try not to criticize where he's still doing it.
Yeah. The funny thing is they hit the jackpot with us, because CPTSD makes us the most studious list makers ever. So we are like the most amazing wives you could ever ask for, because we put this stuff to practice, you know? So I do all this stuff, but they still tell me I'm crazy because he's so awesome. Like, around them, he's so helpful. He's so charming. He's always talking about what an amazing wife he has, because everything in his life is a trophy. He's a Disneyland dad. But the second that he turns around and actually starts owning up to the marital rape and the abuse, they all say, would an abusive man really say he's abusive? His wife must be controlling him. So there's really no way for a woman who's being abused to ever be taken seriously by toxic people. So if we go to them for our validation, we are never going to get it because they're toxic.
Yeah, I could not agree more. If there's no way for them to believe the victim, like if she speaks, she's crazy. If she doesn't speak, she's crazy. If she goes to therapy, she's crazy. If she won't go to therapy, she's crazy. There's no out.
And it's hard because like his family, they know how to attack in ways that are extremely hurtful.
Like, we just pray that you'll come to Jesus kind of stuff. Like, we're praying for peace and hope that kind of, is it sort of spiritual abuse?
Well, I mean, there's tons of spiritual abuse. Yeah, but that stuff doesn't bother me at all because I know I'm good with God. But personal attacks, like you're lazy, you're completely dependent on him. No other man would ever want to be with you. You're the luckiest person alive to be married to him. And then when I hear that, I see the rapes in my mind. You know, and I remember that. Or this is a fun one. When they would come and visit, he would say, Connie, you sleep in. I want to be with them. And I know that you're tired kids. We had 5 kids in 10 years. I loved it. Loved it when I could sleep in, you know. And so we'd go visit his family or they'd come visit us and he'd say, you sleep in. I want to be with them anyway, just me and them time. So you sleep in as long as you want. And as long as, I mean, what mom can sleep in past like 7:30, you know? So I'd sleep in like 30 minutes longer and then come join them. Little did I know that now they've mounted this whole thing about how I sleep all day. Like they're telling each other and everyone, Connie sleeps all day. And our son takes care of everything. He works all day. He takes care of all the children and he takes care of her because she does nothing. This like unfit mother campaign. And the frustrating thing is that with CPTSD, you internalize everything. I mean, it's just like if you have a broken leg, you limp. If you have complex PTSD, you internalize. You just do until it's treated and it takes a long time. You just internalize. And so there was a couple months there where I was like, I have to wake up at 5 every day or else I am proving them right, you know? And so I'm like this tired, grumpy person with my brother-in-law sitting on my shoulder all day in my mind, like, you're lazy, you're lazy, you're lazy. And it's just so dumb because I'm also trying to navigate a separation. I'm trying to work through this horrible pelvic pain that I've been living with for almost 12 years. I'm trying to parent my children through this, wondering, you know, is dad going to be part of our lives again? And then I have these ridiculous insults from these people who don't know me, but that are weighing on me.
It's an extension of the abuse, which is unfortunate. People don't realize that it's an extension of the abuse. If you are neutral, you side on the side of the abuser. Next week, stay tuned because I'm going to continue my conversation with Connie. We'll hear more of her story. And until next week, stay safe out there.